One thing I appreciate about this church family, and I do, liking history, you know, tradition. So during this Advent season, the readings, you know, we always say the Lord's Prayer, the doxology, some more traditional type liturgical things that I really appreciate. Just, you know, as long as it doesn't ever become rote, where we just, okay, got to do that, stand up, sit down. But it's important. The traditions, the scriptures, obviously, of what's known as the common lectionary, and then, of course, the Advent candles and what they all stand for. Today, the pink candle, different than the purple candles we've had thus far, because it is the Gaudete Sunday, the Sunday of rejoicing, and joy is our topic, if you will. Joy. How many of you remember, hopefully this is joyful, your wedding? But families, the fun, Rachel and Kevin, a year ago, or got just weddings are fun. And they don't always turn out, right? I know that. We live in a messed up world. But the joy that just in our lives, things that we can truly celebrate. And as Christians, importantly, the joy of Advent season. And so the big idea, our ultimate joy has been realized in the first Advent and will culminate in the second. And so if you've noticed, every week it's the same big idea, just substituting the different word that for the different banners we've been using. Last week we weren't able to meet, but that would have been the Bethlehem candle, one of the purple, and the idea of the prophecy of his coming, joyful expectation, but the idea of peace, God's shalom, the peace we have with God because of what God did in Christ Jesus for us, breaking down that hostility so that we can be the children of God. So that was last week. You just got the message for all last week. This week now is what's called the Shepherd's Candle. And the theme, the preparation of his coming as we prepare for, obviously, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and the mood of sharing joyful news. And so go tell it on the mountain, and the banjo and the songs that DJ picked out perfectly, because the characteristic is joy, and the banner is rejoicing. Well, some of those readings, what I've been doing for this is really a lot of scripture and then making a few comments about those scripture, just a little sermonette, if you will, on those readings. And so started off with the call to worship, Psalm 126, a psalm of ascents that I mentioned at the Feast of Tabernacles. This morning, if you were here, we talked about Hanukkah. And just what a fun festival, and sometimes looked at as a second tabernacles, because it lasts for 8 days like tabernacles, but tabernacling, God coming to dwell with his people. In John chapter 1, the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Emmanuel, Hebrew meaning God with us. So the idea of Psalm 126 sung on their way up to Jerusalem, the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles back in Jesus' day and beyond. And so the laughter and the singing, no dancing mentioned. But actually, Jeremiah 31:13 does talk about dancing's okay. But the laughter, the joy of going up to meet the Lord at a return from captivity, talking about the Jewish people in their history being sent in captivity and yet being brought back, redeemed from that bondage. And I like that. Sow in tears. We sow in tears, but ultimately we reap in joy. And think of our lives today and the joy we can have. We'll talk a little bit about what that word means. And then in Thessalonians, starts off, rejoice always. And then talks about the sanctification, big word, but being set apart by God. The God of peace, shalom, which would have been last week's sermon if we'd done it, but the God of peace who made us right with him. And then it looks forward to that second coming, the revelation, the word where we get, comes from the word apocalypse, the second revealing of Jesus Christ, that we look forward to that second advent. And then the Gospel of John, I think we spent 3 years going through the Gospel of John, one of those just very important. All of God's word's pretty good, but the Gospel of John, some very familiar, obviously, passages, but talking about John the Baptist bearing the witness of the light, the light of salvation. He was the forerunner. And he, from Isaiah, he's a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, preparing for Jesus. Christ, a cousin of Jesus, but here he is, preparing the way for the Messiah. Well, then in Isaiah 61, sort of our exposition, if you will, a sermonette, but a tale of two Advents. It starts off with preaching the good news, the good tidings, and proclaiming liberty and freedom because as a redeemer. And like we sang, Christ was born for this, to be that redeemer, born to be that lamb without blemish. In fact, in John, if we kept reading, John the Baptist talks about that. A kinsman redeemer, a goel is the Hebrew word, but someone like us, the humanity of Jesus Christ, becoming our kinsman redeemer to redeem us from the bondage of sin. And then also talked about a day of vengeance, the day of the Lord, when God's ultimate righteousness and then his people ultimately rejoicing the joy of being saved, if you will, from the very presence of sin. But then it also talked about the joy of a wedding, like we talked, like I mentioned, just how those can be wonderful, wonderful occasions. And did you catch some of that terminology that we are clothed in his salvation? We are covered in his righteousness. You guys are pretty nice people, but your righteousnesses before a holy God in and of themselves are, as Isaiah says, filthy rags. But it is Christ's righteousness that is reckoned our account in what he did. And so that righteousness that then, of course, deserves our praise and rejoicing. So what then is the truth of all this? Well, joy. The word simcha, I love that's just fun to say in Hebrew. Simcha, a lot of kids are named Simcha, joy. What is a definition of joy? Well, there's a difference, I would submit, between happiness and joy. And if you look it up in fancy dictionaries, but happiness tends to be tied to the external, the temporary, things, objects that make us happy in our situation, where joy is internal and it's permanent. And so there's something deeper there. A couple quotes, happiness is a reaction to something great. It's nothing wrong with being happy. Wow, something great happened. But it's something external. Joy is the product of someone great. I like that. Happiness is based on what's happening, but joy is based on what we believe. And when it comes to joy, the reality, the biblical advent, the reality in Luke chapter 4, if you recognize that from Isaiah, but Jesus in the synagogue, Luke chapter 4, make sure I'm getting there and get my cheaters on. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Luke chapter 4, beginning of verse 16. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So he stopped in the middle of that Isaiah reading. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And so Jesus, that reading, talking about the first advent of coming to be the one, binding up, healing, restoring from captivity. But then as we went on through that Isaiah earlier in the reading, went on to talk about the second advent, the judgment, the wrath, the righteousness of God being revealed at the second coming. And so folks, our status, the joy we can have, is beyond mere circumstances. It's in a person. the salvation, the righteousness from the bridegroom. We are all the bride of Christ. Jesus is our bridegroom who gives us, as we'll see later, our garments of white to wear, which is reflection of the purity and holiness, his righteousness. And so we are made right. That's a big word, justification. We are declared righteous with God because of what Christ did at his first advent. But then at a wedding, they're singing and dancing, rejoicing. We look forward to what's called glorification. When Jesus comes to get us, his bride, to take us home to his Father's house to be at the wedding supper of the Lamb. In fact, Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse 7, talking about a wedding. Let us be, this is now in Revelation, the, you know, after all the horrible things of what's called the tribulation period, Jesus coming back right before the second coming. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb, Jesus, has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed, and this is John the Apostle writing this. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So the rejoicing of a wedding, when Jesus comes to take us home, we have that status now that we are declared righteous. We lived in a world despite all the things that go on, but we're the bride of Christ. We can take joy in that. And we look forward to when he comes to get us at that second advent. So the joy, despite all the stuff that goes on in the world. West Point, defeating Annapolis in a football game. I can get through it. But the idea of who we are, folks, there's bad stuff happens. I mean, we have prayer concerns. We have, you know, cancers and deaths and all the stuff, the politics, all the things when you turn on the news. Happiness is based on the external. Joy is based on a person. And I assume I'm talking to Christians in this room. The joy we have because of who we are is the bride of Christ. And so I read, as a good Navy man lighted the candles, in 1 Peter, we have a living hope. We don't serve a dead prophet. It's a living hope because of the resurrection. And we are kept by God's power. We're not a bride left at the altar. Lots of bad stories that maybe some of us have experienced, being left at the altar even later in life type of thing. But because of our faith, we can cling to that. And we can rejoice in trials because of the revelation, knowing how it ends, because Jesus is coming back. And I like that, joy inexpressible and full of glory. Great song, joyful, joyful, we adore you. And we're going to be singing Joy to the World in just a few seconds. And so John the Baptist, we are reading in John chapter 3, verse 29 through 30. I love this, and just this is something maybe for us. John the Baptist says, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. Once again, talking about Jesus. But the friend of the bridegroom, John the Baptist, I'm a friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, I must decrease. The friend of the bridegroom, rejoicing because the bridegroom is there with the bride. He deserves all praise and honor and glory. And John the Baptist and us must decrease because we are the bride of the bridegroom. So our ultimate joy has been realized in the first advent and will culminate in the second. And I don't know about you, but that does bring me inexpressible joy. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and rejoice that we are who we are as the bride of Christ because of what you have done in the first advent, and we look forward to the consummation in the second. Thank you for this season. Just what a festive time. And we think of the Jewish people in Hanukkah and their understanding of it. How much more do we appreciate it because we know what this season is all about. And so we praise you, we worship you, we joyfully give you the honor and glory due your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.